Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. Toll-free number 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and in Canada. That's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. This month we're looking at relationships and how to keep them strong and healthy and vibrant. And we're not going to talk anything about psychology or sociology or the rest of it. As you might guess, we're talking about the gospel.
Right.
What does the gospel have to say about relationships? I'm going to start today with two passages, and I'm going to tell you up front that these two passages are literally the key to relationships. Now, we've read these before, but not quite in this context. Here's the first one out of Ephesians. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This statement from Paul tells us that as soon as we accepted Jesus Christ, we were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. You have eternal life because you have the Holy Spirit. He's a guarantee. Eternal life can never be taken away. Here's the other passage. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As a result of Jesus' death, he reconciled us to God. Being sealed by the Holy Spirit would be impossible if we weren't reconciled to God.
Right.
Therefore, in Christ, we have both reconciliation and eternal life. These are eternal truths, can't be taken away once we've accepted Jesus. Why do I say everything about relationships begins with those two things? Because if we don't know these two things in our relationships, then we don't have a basis for a relationship. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, one of the things that Christianity is accused of is being exclusive, and I'm going to say absolutely it's exclusive. This kind of thing that we're talking about is available only in Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, humans, I believe, are made up of body, soul, and spirit. When Adam and Eve sinned, their spirits died. Therefore, we have this hole in our spirits that is missing. There's something there. The Holy Spirit was supposed to be there. We lost him.
Yeah.
As long as we don't have the Holy Spirit, as long as we're not saved, then we have zero access to God's love. God's love is agape love. Agape love is the kind of love that does things for someone because the person who is loving sees the need and fulfills that need, even if the person doesn't realize it. So God esteemed us. He loved us. He initiated to us so that we would accept him. And as soon as we accepted him, then he could fill that need of the Holy Spirit. And when you've got that, you have complete, utter security in Christ. What is one of the number one issues in relationships? It's the two people who are involved are insecure with each other.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can trust that woman. That woman doesn't know if she can trust me. What are you going to do? Well, you try your best, but you're probably going to fail. In fact, more than 50% of all marriages fail. Even a higher percentage of all second marriages fail because we have this terrible habit as human beings of marrying this exact same kind of person we divorced in the first place. Apart from God, that's what you get. So many Christians try to live their lives apart from God, apart from this agape love, thinking that they can earn it somehow, that their relationships in the church look just like relationships in the world, and that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
So today, I mean, I could go on, and I'm going to cover more of this over the week because there are three things: the body, soul, and the spirit. Today, I'm dealing with the spirit. You need to be connected to Jesus Christ. You are connected if you have the Holy Spirit. If you are connected, you have agape love within you. That love will pour through your soul and through your body to inform all aspects of your relationships. But let's start today with the agape love of Jesus Christ. The only way to have it is to have the Holy Spirit living in us, and God has taken every step necessary to make that a reality.
It is about relationships, and Richard, thank you for those thoughts as we initiate this this edition of Basic Gospel. We have plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, and of course, that's good. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. You know, for many years, negative forces have worked to undermine the relationships that are most important to us. And as believers, what do we do to build strong, authentic relationships in marriage and in family life? Well, there's only one way to do that, and that is through the power of Jesus Christ living in and through us. In this new series that Bob Christopher has created called Inside Out Marriage and Family, he shows how Jesus works on the inside to give us all the necessary ingredients to enjoy strong, healthy relationships and defy those negative forces, relationships that are authentic and real. Inside Out Marriage and Family is now available when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel. Just request your CD edition when you click Donate at BasicGospel.net. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, friends, we're glad you're with us for this edition. We're going to go out to San Diego and talk to our friend Lucy. Lucy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Lucy. How are you doing?
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Good. I guess you guys got left behind, huh?
We did.
Yes.
Too bad. Maybe another time. I would have loved to have gone, but couldn't make it. My question is, difficult. I don't know exactly how to express it other than we heard over the weekend someone who's close to someone who's close to us, but I don't know the girl. She's perhaps in her early 20s now. I mean, I know she's in her early 20s. And about 3, maybe 4 years ago, she lost her older brother, who was in his early 20s, in an accident. And she is just, even today, beside herself with grief, inconsolable. And when I heard about it, it just broke my heart. And she is brokenhearted. But she went to her pastor, and I'm assuming it was her pastor, because she was a church goer. And she, and I assume this also, that she told him that her brother was not a believer. So he told her that he was not in heaven. And I think she's, from just the way it was expressed to me, that she's mad at God. It just breaks my heart. Yeah. And my next question would be, and I haven't talked to her, so I haven't, you know, been able to say anything to her. But my next question would be, would I be extrapolating way too far with the scripture Matthew 12:20 and Isaiah 42:3, where he talks about a smoldering wick he would not extinguish? I believe we humans have personal conversations with God throughout our life, even when we're not aware of him or not know him that much. I just felt so bad that she feels she wants to see him again, be able to see him again someday. How would you have told her this or counseled her?
Yeah, I think the as far as the pastor knew, he might be correct, but being correct isn't always being the right thing. The fact is, no human being knows for certain the eternal destiny of any other human being.
Right.
Only God knows. God is the judge. I'm not. Now, if her brother had told her that he had rejected Jesus completely, wanted nothing to do with him, and all of that, then she's got to take his word for it. Mm-hmm. If at some point in time he was a Christian and then decided not to be, we don't know why he decided not to be. He might have been rebelling against terrible teaching, or he might have, mm-hmm. you know, never truly come to faith in Jesus Christ. The issue right. is not his eternal soul in this case. He and God are dealing with that. The issue is why his, as you said, it's his sister?
His sister,
yeah.
Yes.
Why his yes. sister has been unable to let go of this grief for so many years. She's literally killing herself. She's tearing herself yeah. apart because of this. And so I would spend more time counseling her on her assurance of salvation and why mm-hmm. is it that mm-hmm. that she is still grieving so completely. Of course, the sadness never goes away. You lose a family yeah. member 40 years from now, you're still going to go, oh, I lost a family member. But this kind of grief that actually freezes you in place is not healthy, and that's what needs to be explored. What is she afraid of? What is she worrying about? What is her belief system that's tying her up like this? That's what I would spend some time on. And it may take a long time to get through mm-hmm. this. At the beginning, you're probably going to do best just to show up and put your arms around her and cry with her.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, maybe she'll open up. But her issue, I don't think, based on your description, is not really whether her brother was saved. Her issue is an unrequited grief that needs to work itself out and come to a healthy conclusion. So that's the best I can do yes. at that point. But the issue is none of us know the status of her brother's ultimate salvation or damnation. We just don't know. It's not our call.
No, I know that. But my question, too, was would I be extrapolating?
Yes.
I don't have the opportunity to speak with her.
Okay.
But that was just the first things that came to my mind, his kindness, his love, you know.
But his kindness and his love will not force someone who doesn't want to be saved to be saved. If the person was saved, then they're saved regardless. That's why we don't know.
Yes.
That's why it's God's issue. And so I wouldn't offer false hope, nor would I offer
yes.
false judgmental attitudes. Offer the truth.
Yes.
If he belonged to Jesus, he's saved. If he didn't, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that's not our call. It's just that's a statement
no.
of fact, you know, like 2 + 2 = 4, but it doesn't help me change
right.
the oil in my car. Right?
Right.
So.
No, I understand all that. I was just wondering about those, if in, at some point in his life that, because she was a churchgoer. He may have been, I just don't know any of those things.
Yep.
About him.
He may have been saved. He may not have been saved.
Yeah.
So
you
can't say. And that's the hardest yeah. thing for anybody doing a ministry role, and by definition all of God's children are ministers, is we don't mm-hmm. know some of those ultimate answers to the ultimate questions, so we have to deal with only
right.
the things we do know.
Right. Well, I was not talking to her. I have not had the opportunity to talk to her. I don't know when and if. But mm-hmm. I agree with you, just hugging her and letting her know she's loved. And if she asks,
then you've got a chance
she,
to have
you know,
the conversation.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And that may come up. I don't know. But I have been myself in anguish for her and her pain.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Perfectly understandable.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Love
You're
you
welcome.
Guys. And
wish it wasn't such a hard issue, but
I know.
God is sufficient.
Is
His grace is sufficient.
For her.
He'll give
yeah.
you the words if you get a chance to talk to her.
Yeah. Well, I hope that comes up soon. I just
okay.
don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you, Lucy.
Bye-bye.
So much. Good to hear Bye-bye. From you. Well, you know, February is Valentine's month, and we thought you might like to do something extra special for your wife or husband and your family. We think this two CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family by Bob Christopher, could be just the thing. Families, marriages, even motherhood are coming under increasing stress and sometimes outright attack. Now, this new series, Inside Out, shows the way to counter the assaults and build strong, authentic relationships and families. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is yours as you make your gift to Basic Gospel during the month of February, Valentine's month, of course. And as always, just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Still have calls on the line, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, we're going to go to British Columbia and welcome Eleanor to the program. Eleanor, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I was reading my Bible today, and I saw things in that 2 Peter 17 going right down. And it says,
which chapter?
These are worlds without...
Excuse me, which chapter?
2 Peter, chapter 2.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Starting in 17. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. They are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lost through the lust of the flesh, though through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For if it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. For it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in the wallowing in the mire. So where do we see this in the world today, in some Christians?
Well, this whole, that passage that you just read is the conclusion of a passage regarding false teachers that starts up in the very beginning of chapter 2. There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And then he goes off from there. It is clear from the description of what these false teachers are preaching, what they're doing within the local churches and all of that, that they truly are not saved and never have been. And so what Peter is talking about when he talks about it would be better for them never to have known than to have known and rejected. It's not that they were saved and then became lost. It's that they were familiar with all of the teachings that Peter and the other apostles had brought to the first century church, and were play acting with no intent of accepting Jesus. But what they were after was power and corruption of other people's morals and all of that, so they were never saved in the first place. Does this happen in the church today? Absolutely. There are people all over Christianity who are faking it. They are just play-acting, and when they get a hold of other people, they lead those people into the same kinds of error that they have. So this is a terrible, terrible passage describing terrible, terrible things that unbelievers do while wearing the mask. That's what it means to be a hypocrite, to wear a mask so that people can't tell that you're faking. And so this is not something that happens to a true child of God, a true son or daughter of God, because they have made that choice that Jesus truly is Lord, and that's the end of it. Do we all have mistakes that we make? Do we all have confusion over certain things? Absolutely. But the fundamental issue that the false teachers have, according to Peter, is that they do not believe, period. Whatever else they're doing, however good it looks, however wonderful the words are, they don't believe, they're lost, and everything they do is the same kind of thing. So rather than running around looking for people who are wearing the mask, because it could be anyone, what Peter does and what other people do in the New Testament, and what I think we should do, is consistently preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't know who's saved and who's lost, but we can be certain that if we go with the gospel, the true gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then we are pointing people to truth. And that always bears good fruit. looking for people to judge and to throw out. Excuse me?
What about verse 19 that says, for if they have a clean escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein
I already explained that. Based on the whole passage,
They were saved. It says here, right there, they were saved.
They escaped the corruption. It doesn't say that they were saved.
Through the knowledge, it says, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior.
If I know who Jesus is and I know what his teachings are and I live according to those teachings, I'm going to look like a wonderful person because I'm going to get along with people better. I'm going to be fairer in my relationships with other people. I'm going to look out for that. Doesn't mean I'm saved. It just means I'm behaving like I'm saved. And these people were behaving like they were saved, but it was an indication that they were covering up because they never did leave the corruption. They went back to it, but they never completely left it in the first place. Now, this is different than what Paul talks about in Galatians 6, where he talks about people who have been trapped in sin and how careful we should be to restore them so that we don't get caught up in that sin as well. These people in 2 Peter had never really given up that corruption. What they were about was acting a certain way, using the words of Jesus, acting like they think Jesus would act in order to worm their way into people's homes and hearts and pocketbooks. And there was nothing true about them. And this is one of the saddest passages in all of Scripture, because he's describing people that if you and I were walking down the street and looked at him or met him in church, we'd think, wow, now there's a guy who's got it on the ball. And actually, he did not. And so it's not about losing salvation. It's about never having had it in the first place, but acting as if you do and corrupting other people as a result. So thank you, Eleanor. This is a tough subject, but it is what it is. And we just got to be careful not to get into judgment on other people. Take it for what it is. Point people to Jesus. Thanks so much for your call.
Indeed. Let's quickly go to Brad in Ofallo, Missouri. Brad, welcome to the broadcast. We got just a minute left, so come on in.
Well, again, Richard did his thing. And I was going to talk about a couple of things real quick, but the main thing to go along with the subject, I find it very liberating and very freeing in my walk with Jesus to not point the finger, but to just do what he's asked me to do. That's preach the gospel, Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and resurrected, and resurrection life, and everything doing with that, and just let God take care of what he's responsible for. Like you said, God knows, I don't.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Thank you so much for today's program.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah. Well, let me recapitulate real quick in the last 30 seconds. The agape love of Jesus Christ is the only thing that saves us from being false teachers, from being lousy husbands and wives, from not getting along with our peers or with our children. Always, always, always start with Jesus and let him take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. As we talked about yesterday, his will always takes us to a better place because he's the one who's doing it.
Great thoughts to close the broadcast, Richard. Thank you. And friends, you know, this new 2-CD series by Bob Christopher could be very helpful in your marriage and in your home. It's called Inside Out, Marriage and Family. And it will show you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how to build strong and authentic relationships in your marriage and family life. Few things are better than spiritual and heartfelt unity in our homes, and we think this will be a great Valentine's gift for your entire family. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is available to you with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. For your copy of this most informative CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, it's available with for you to request when you make your donation to Basic Gospel during the month of February. All you need to do is simply click Donate at BasicGospel.net. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.